The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Thank you very much. My name is Ciara King and I'm keeping the studio warm for Mr. Ray Darcy for the next 2 weeks. You can get in touch with the show today. You can text 51551 or you can email ray@rte.ie. Now, I want to start the show today talking about Ronan O'Gara. We get to see and hear a lot of Ronan O'Gara with his various media appearances, pundit gigs and post-game interviews, but we don't often get to hear him speaking in fluent French. Well, ahead of La Rochelle's top 14 semi-final against Bordeaux this summer, O'Gara gathered his players for a serious pep talk in the locker room. And while Roger's French is brilliant, unsurprisingly, it's the full Cork accent and occasional English swear words that only Irish people could truly appreciate. Have a listen to this. This will get you riled up.
At Dublin at the outsiders, Sandy on their favourite, mais ton humour, ton performance est dicté par le mec à l'extérieur, c'est dicté par ici. Il y a tellement de choses de progresser dans cette équipe, je m'en fous d'adversaire, c'est ici. Est-ce que vous avez faim ou vous êtes intéressé de progresser? C'est pas possible ça. L'opportunité c'est énorme, mais on commence aujourd'hui à zéro. On va créer l'énergie, l'état d'esprit, le sacrifice, toutes les choses on aimerait faire.
I would love to have been a fly on the wall when Ronan O'Gara was doing his French Arles for his leaving cert. That's brilliant. Now, on to plane seats. Now, I know this topic has been cropping up more and more online, and it's one of those topics that is very, very divisive. People are divided on it. Maybe you've come across it yourself, but would you have the gall to ask somebody to swap their seats on a plane so that you could be beside your family or your friends? This is happening more and more, or maybe this always happened, but we're definitely just seeing it more on social media. The latest experience of this was had by a girl called Ashley, who tweeted, "Just been asked if we mind giving up our nice window seats that we specifically booked on the plane to Hawaii so some people who planned poorly can all sit together." No was the answer. I don't know whether I could say no, but I absolutely wouldn't ask. Would you? Or have you? Have you come across this on a plane? I'm happy just to roll with whatever seat I'm given so that I don't have to pay extra. But imagine having gone to the trouble and expense of booking and paying for a seat on the plane to be asked or kind of almost shamed into giving it up for someone who hadn't bothered. I think it's a hard no for me. Let me know what you think. 51551. And finally, there's a lovely story about a Kansas farmer who planted 80 acres of sunflowers as a 50th anniversary surprise for his wife. Are you the type to plan a grand romantic gesture, or does this kind of thing give you the ick? Well, this farmer, 80 acres is equivalent to 1.2 million sunflowers. The farmer's called Lee Wilson, and he surprised his wife, Renee, with the sunflowers. Now, what has he done, you know, to warrant this grand gesture? Has he gotten himself in trouble and that's why he's gone to plant all these sunflowers? Or is that just me being a bit of a begrudger? I want to know what she got him, because that's a very hard gift to compare against. Are you one of those kinds? Are you one of those types of people in a relationship for those sort of gestures for birthdays or engagements or anniversaries? Or have you been the recipient and maybe you felt a little off about it, or maybe you'd love it? Text us 51551. You can share your grand gesture stories. We won't judge, I promise you, we will not. And finally, Angela Scanlon has been unveiled as the latest Strictly contestant. The Irish TV presenter Angela Scanlon, she was announced as the latest star to sign up for Strictly Come Dancing 2023. We all know Angela. She's the presenter of Ask Me Anything on RTE, of BBC2's Your Garden Made Perfect and The One Show. And she was speaking about the show. She said that it's been in the ether for a number of years, that she's been close to doing it before, and that truthfully, she wanted to have another baby. So they were trying to have a baby, and then she was pregnant, and then she had a small child, and now just the time feels right for it. She said, "I believe in feelings and timing and all of those sort of things. I'm not particularly fit. I have no idea how my pelvic floor is going to react to that level of jumping." And she said, "I've never done any of these dances in my life bar a drunken jive at a family wedding. So it certainly feels there's room to learn and really push myself." So Strictly Come Dancing returns to screen this autumn, and it'll be judged by Shirley Ballas, Anton Dubec, Craig Revel Horwood and Motsi Mambuse. I'm so looking forward to seeing Angela on it. I know she's going to be brilliant for sure. Now it's time to go to some music. It's Blur with The Universal. That is The Universal and Blur, and that was from their 1995 album, if I'm correct in saying that. I don't know, you can tell me. Well, I have created seat wars on the text line today. We were asking earlier on, would you move on a plane if you were asked? And people have a lot of opinions on this. Someone says, if I'd paid for a seat and someone hasn't and asks me to move, the answer is no. Vera says, I would not ask anybody to move on a plane, but what really annoys me is when my seat with my name is taken by someone who refuses to move. And this happens on the train sometimes as well. That is really frustrating. And Simon in Wicklow says, ah, Kira, I've often asked people if I can sit beside my friends on the plane and no one has ever said no, not yet. Anyway, you've just come across very understanding people, Simon, in fairness. And somebody else says, I've been asked to move twice and I moved, but it annoyed me. So keep your thoughts on this coming in. 51551. Now it's time to tell you about today's quiz. So here it is, our whodunit quiz. So two people, that's two of you, will answer three whodunit questions each on music, sport, books, politics, inventions, actually anything that involves human endeavour is up for grabs. And like all whodunits, there'll be clues. And if you answer without a clue, you get two. There's 2 points if you opt for the more difficult option and don't take a clue. However, if you opt for a clue, it's easier, so you get 1 point. And we have an incredible prize. The Heritage in County Laois is part of the FBD Hotels and Resorts is giving one lucky listener and a guest a two-night stay with breakfast both mornings and dinner on one evening at Blake's Restaurant. So the Heritage was recently awarded TripAdvisor Traveller's Choice Award for 2023, and it saw them rated in the top 1% of all businesses on TripAdvisor and among the top 25 hotels in Ireland for the second consecutive year. So this is the ultimate spa getaway for you and your plus one to sit back and relax in their award-winning spa and take advantage of the brand new Moroccan bath treatments, including the Hammam or the Ras El Mut. So the Heritage is a beautiful resort. It's set in the heart of the countryside in the pretty village of Killinard in County Laois, and it's less than 20 minutes from Kildare Village. So if you're not lucky enough to win on this occasion, why not treat yourself to the weekend girls' escape and experience one of the many gorgeous treatments on offer at the Heritage Spa or some retail therapy at the nearby Kildare Village. So to view all of the amazing packages on offer at the Heritage, visit www.theheritage.com. So to enter, you have to answer this question. Angela Scanlon has been unveiled as a contestant in which show? Is it Strictly Come Dancing or Strictly Come Singing? You can call us now, 0818 715 925. That's 0818 715 925. Look at the question again. Angela Scanlon has been unveiled as a contestant in which show? Is it Strictly Come Dancing or is it Strictly Come Singing? We'll be back after this.
The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray D'Arcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now it is time to get your binoculars ready because Whale Watch Ireland Day is back for 2023. It's a national day where the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group want you to get out whale spotting. So to chat all things whales now, I'm joined by Pádraig Cooley, the sightings officer with the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. You're very welcome to the show, Pádraig.
Thanks for having us on.
Now tell us, Saturday, August 19th, it's an All-Ireland for Whales really, isn't it?
Yes, indeed. Yeah, All-Ireland Whale Watch Day. This is 21st year running this event. So it's one of the biggest events on the Irish wildlife calendar. And it's, you know, as I say to people, it's about getting people up off their backsides and up onto the headlands and brush the dust off the binoculars that you take out once or twice a year. And hopefully, along with, you know, the guides from the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, join us up on one of 19 headlands around the coastline of Ireland. It's just a great opportunity for people to sample some of the most interesting and varied of Ireland's native wildlife. Mm-hmm.
I grew up by the sea and I'm ashamed to say that I've never done any whale spotting whatsoever. So are there locations in Ireland that tend to see more whale activity than others, let's say?
Yeah, I mean, you would generally expect to see more whales like on the open Atlantic side and down along the Celtic Sea, which is the Irish south coast. But, you know, when we ran this event last year, it was remarkable, and we were collating what the different groups had seen around the country. The site that had the most interesting and best sightings was actually Howth in County Dublin.
Yeah, okay.
Often, you know, when it comes to watching wildlife, we have this kind of mindset that you always have to look somewhere else. The interesting stuff is always somewhere else. It's never where you are. But in terms of whales and dolphins in Ireland, I always say to people, you know, the best activity is often an awful lot closer to where you live than you might actually think.
And what type of whales venture through Irish waters?
Well, we've got a really high species diversity. If you think, there's only 86 species of whales recorded by science, and we have over a third of those have been recorded in Irish water. So that's 26 species of porpoises, dolphins and whales, all collectively referred to as cetaceans. And that's from our smallest, the wee harbour porpoise, the muckamara, the sea pig, all the way up to the largest whale species, which is the mighty blue whale, which is seen in further offshore waters. So anywhere in between, you know, we've got the porpoises, you know, 4 to 5, 6 foot long. The blue whale can be over 100 foot long. So take your pick.
And what sort of whale was it that came in on the coast of the Kerry shore there earlier this summer? That was a fin whale, I think, was it?
That's right. Yeah, we had this controversial fin whale. And I mean, as a West Cork farmer said to me a couple of years ago when I was explaining why a fin whale might have live stranded on a beach adjacent to his land. And I was explaining to him that, you know, we are seeing more and more of these large whales and the likes of humpback whales and fin whales every year. And he paused for a moment. And as a farmer, and then what he came out with was brilliant. And it was just simply, he said, oh, when you've got livestock, you've got dead stock. And it was just very matter of fact, but it was so true. I mean, as we have increasing numbers of certain species of whales turning up along our coast, you would expect to see more of them dying along our coast as well. And that's why the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group, we have two schemes. One records sightings of living and, you know, free swimming whales. That's the sighting scheme. And then we also have the stranding scheme, which records dead and dying species washing up along our coastline. So both are equally important because both the sightings and the strandings help give us that more complete overview of how cetaceans or porpoises, dolphins and whales are using Irish waters.
And that is really interesting because people, when it comes to whales, that as you said, they like the bigger ones, you know, they love the humpbacks. Where do they come from and how do they end up in the Irish waters?
Yeah, really good question. Well, I mean, over the last, you know, 25, 30 years, we've been documenting these. And, you know, had you asked us this question even 10 years ago, we'd have probably struggled with the answer. But we now know that our humpback whales are coming from both the known North Atlantic breeding areas. One is the Cape Verdes off West Africa, and the other is areas around Guadeloupe and the Dominican Republic in the Caribbean. So our humpback whales that we have right here, right now, in places like Donegal Bay in particular, has got plenty of humpback whale activity. They, you know, some of those animals are almost certainly from either of those two populations, the Cape Verdes, West Africa, or the Dominican Republic in the Caribbean. So it's very eclectic and it's very cosmopolitan.
And are you seeing a change in the trend of whales that are coming to Irish waters? Like, why are they coming to the Irish waters?
Yeah, well, they're the simpler of those two is the reason why they're here is very simple. They're feeding. Irish waters are a known feeding area for these whales. You know, whales at any one time are only doing one of two things. They're either having young or rearing young, or they're feeding. And when they come up from the tropical breeding areas, there's very little whale food for them down there. So by the time they make it up to Irish waters, you know, some of them are looking very, very scrawny. Some species of whales are thought can lose up to one third of their body weight, because down in the tropics there's lots of things down there, like they offer them lots of warmth, the protection from their young from predators, but there's no real food for them. So by the time they get up here, they can spend months and months feeding, and what they're feeding on are small pelagic shoaling fish, the likes of sand eels and herrings, and that's what they've been doing. We've recorded some individual humpback whales now between Broadhaven Bay in County Mayo and Donegal Bay as of yesterday, and some of these whales are now in that area for almost 3 months. So yeah, it's a real feeding fest when they're up here. And I mean, some of them may well go further north. I mean, we recorded some of our humpback whales as far, you know, 1,000 kilometres inside the Arctic Circle. Only a couple of months ago, we recorded one of our humpbacks off Murmansk in Russia. So these whales, I mean, the question increasingly isn't where are our humpback whales going, rather where are they not going, because they seem to be going absolutely everywhere. They can just travel enormous distances over a relatively short space of time. So it's a fascinating study, and we are seeing changes. I mean, definitely our humpbacks and our fin whales seem to be foraging now in new areas. I mean, you know, when Ray was down filming fin whales with us years ago, it was in autumn time, and it was down in West Cork. Now we'd be saying autumn time probably isn't the best time. It's much, you know, they seem to be arriving earlier and earlier every year, and they seem to be spreading more up the West Coast. So, you know, this year you'd have to say the two hot spots for the big whales in particular has probably been Broadhaven Bay and Mayo and Donegal Bay. So it's great news for anybody who's joining us next week for Whale Watch Day, because, you know, we've got a watch site there off Mullaghmore in County Sligo looking into Donegal Bay. So that would be a really good place for people if they wanted to see the likes of humpback and fin whales. So it's a really exciting time. But, you know, definitely, you know, because we've been doing this for a long time, you can see the changes, you know, even over a relatively short space of time, like the last 20, 30 years, you know, the whales are occupying different areas, and their timing for arrival here is changing as well. And I'm sure climate change is actually likely to be a significant part of that whole scenario.
And how long can whales actually live for?
It's a really good question. Don't know. Don't really know. Yeah. I mean, some species, if you think about fungi, like a dolphin is a whale, it's just a small whale with teeth. And fungi, if it was a day old, fungi was probably late 40s, 50 years of age. Mm-hmm. So it's very likely that some whales, in particular the bigger whales, tend to have greater longevity. But I would not be surprised at all if the likes of humpback and fin whales in particular could live for, you know, over 100 years, up towards 150 years. It's very difficult to know, but there's, you know, they are very, very long-lived animals indeed.
Yeah, I guess when I think about whales, that iconic image of them coming out of the water, do we know why they breach the surface, or are they putting on a show for us, the humans?
Yeah, I mean, it is just one of those remarkable spectacles, a breaching humpback whale. If there's, you know, there's several events in the wildlife calendar that have that ability just to knock the breath out of you, and a whale just launching itself, you know, out of the water into the air and going, you know, taking flight is just one of those amazing sights, and it's something we actually get to see fairly frequently in Irish waters. But, you know, there's a couple of theories as to why they might do. One of them would be it's a great way of dislodging parasites. I mean, if you've got an itch, you know, you've got limbs, you can scratch it. Or if you're an elephant, you know, in Africa, you can find a big acacia tree and you can rub your backside off it and scratch an itch. Or if you're a whale, you can't really do that. So one of the reasons we think it's likely that they breach out of the water is to help them dislodge parasites. It could also be communication. It could be a way of corralling, shoaling fish to make it easier to feed. Or, of course, you can't discount the fact that it could be just good fun.
Okay, well, before you go, tell us how Whale Watch Ireland, tell us how August 19th is going to play out.
Yeah, well, I mean, we got to line up a couple of ducks, and the first duck we need to line up is the weather. Whale watching, you know, the success of whale watching often has an awful lot more to do with the weather than it does anything else. So once the weather is on our side, now what you can do is simply, these events are all free, and there's no booking involved. So if you go to the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group website, you'll see a graphic there that'll show you all the 19 locations around the entire coastline. And you'll have the contact details. So you basically just show up at the meet, at the actual meeting point, and then there's, in some of these sites, there'll be a short walk out to the actual watch site. Bring your binoculars. If the weather isn't so good locally and you're not sure if the event is going ahead, just contact by email or by phone, contact your local watch leader, and they'll be able to give you the actual lowdown on the day if you're a little bit concerned about the actual weather. But, you know, it's Saturday week, the 19th. There's no boats involved. These are all land-based watches.
Okay. So you don't have to have any experience in whale watching to head along?
Not at all. No, we're the experienced older heads. We'll be there to hopefully point out animals that are nice and close inshore, and, you know, give the kids a loan of a pair of binoculars for a few minutes, and hopefully be there to help you spot animals. And there'll be handouts on the day. And just a little mention that this event wouldn't be possible without the support of Inish and Wicklow, who have been fantastic for supporting Whale Watch Day every year for us.
All right, Pádraig, thank you so much. That's Saturday, the 19th of August, 2 o'clock, Whale Watch Ireland 2023. You can check it out, www.iwdg.ie. That was Pádraig Cooley, who's the sightings officer with the Irish Whale and Dolphin Group. We'll be back just after some Lord. New Zealand singer Lord there with Solar Power. Just to get to a couple of text messages about the plane situation. Somebody says, "Hi Kira, I just returned from a holiday yesterday. I had my pre-booked aisle seat and my wife had the middle seat. Both my wife and I offered our seats up so the family could be together. They couldn't have been more grateful and thankful. Just a little gesture goes a long way." That is from Trevor. Trevor, that was very kind of you. And Paul also has texted in. He said, "Once on a long haul flight, my wife, my son and I were all in the same section, but none of the three of us were sitting beside each other. My wife successfully rearranged at least 12 people to move seats. It was like a Rubik's Cube and everybody obliged." So there is polite people who are willing to give up their seats on a plane. And somebody says, "Hi Kira, I'm flying to Lanzarote tomorrow with my wife and my 4-year-old daughter. We can't get three seats together, but I would never ask anybody to move." So there you go. And also in terms of talking about whales and dolphins there, Joan has texted in to say, "I had a fantastic boat trip in Bantry last Monday. We did get to see some dolphins, but we didn't have any luck of seeing whales. I've never seen a whale off any coast of Ireland. So that is something that is definitely on my bucket list as well." We'll be back just after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
So it's always a good day when the Daily Dish are here. Gina and Carl, how are you both?
Hey, we're really good, thank you. Thanks for having us on.
Now, I believe that you both went on your first holiday in years, but you actually went separately.
Yes.
Yeah, it wasn't our first holiday in years. We've been doing it together, but it was our first one.
Without each other.
Yeah.
Yeah. And where did you go, Gina?
I went to Portugal. So I went to Albufeira with the girls. Mm-hmm. And it was lovely. It was really nice. It was really chilled. But the baby.
You missed the baby.
Yeah, it was really hard. The girls were like, "Oh, cop on, you'd be going home to see him at the weekend. Like, you'd be fine." But I found that side of it really hard. But then when I was home, I was like, "Oh my God, I wish I was back there."
I know. It's always the way though, isn't it? Yeah. When you come back from holiday, you're always like, "Was I on holiday? This doesn't feel..." And where were you, Carl?
I went over to Holland for a week. So I did... three of my friends, we went to Amsterdam for the night and we went down to a music festival in Tilburg for a week, stayed in a safari park. We opened up our back door to like lions in the morning.
Oh, wow.
It was really chill. It was really good. But yeah, I get what Gina was saying, like, because obviously Gina is so new. Like, obviously I missed the other two as well.
You didn't them. But, the kids.
No, I think because Gina is so small, I did kind of miss them and lots of FaceTime and stuff, but I had to laugh because when I was away, it was kind of like a regular week. And then Gina went away the following week, and the week she went away, he learned how to hug. He learned how to do other bits and pieces, and I'd be sending her little clips and videos.
That's why on Thursday, like, we'd been drinking for breakfast, you know, mimosas.
Yeah,
he'd
been on holiday.
And he rings me, and the baby did this. He does this little thing with his lip, and I just broke down. He goes, "But look, he's learned how to hug." And he started, I was like, "Don't even do that."
That's not what you want to hear when you're over on holiday and you're missing the kids.
And he got his first haircut as well.
Yeah, so I gave him a haircut.
You gave him a haircut. Yeah. How did that go?
It was grand. I knew I'd get away with it when she wasn't in the same country, so yeah, it was okay. But yeah. No, I think his fringe was getting a bit
long. He's still alive.
And speaking of the kids, how are all the kids?
They're great. Yeah. They're really good. I mean, they're on their summer holidays, so they're living their best lives at the
Our
moment.
Our eldest is out with my parents out in Bray for a week. She kind of goes out to them because she's nearly 15, so she likes the independence of going out
of
and being in a town. Ben is 12. Ben's loving it, playing football with his friends every day. You know, getting annoyed when we tried to get him to do a bit of housework with us, but it's good.
Yeah. Sounds like a typical 13-year-old boy, in fairness, you know. And like, obviously, you've had the two kids for a long time, and my friends say to me, "Kira, the difference when you go from one to two is literally life changing." But you went from two to three.
We went from two to a big gap. And we were only just kind of getting to the stage where we were able to kind of go out on our own for a little while because Holly was old enough to kind
of... Or they were in school. Do morning dates because we don't go out in... Yeah. We don't have... we could have a babysitter, but people live too far away from us.
Yeah.
So we tend to do like date mornings. So we were just at that stage, you know, the kids were in school till 3 or 4 o'clock. And then all of a sudden, along comes
the morning things became kind of 2.5.
Like, I found going from one to two was hard. I found one was hard anyway. Yeah. And then two, because we moved down the countryside. Carl was working all day. I was on my own.
I was in the city, so I was commuting. So I was getting up at like 6:30
so
in the morning.
So I was 6 a.m. till 8 p.m. on my own. I had no friends in the area. Anyone who kind of lived semi-close to me was working. So I found a real strain on my brain.
Yeah, no,
and it was very tough. And like more often than not, he would get calls, like, you know, and he'd be, I'm in work. And his colleagues would just hear, But the third, going from to the third, I was in my 40s having Jean. So I was in my 20s and 30s having those, the other two.
So energy levels.
But yeah, but I found it much easier this time around.
I think because we were both in a position where, you know, we're working from home, we're doing our own thing. So we're both there and we can share it. For me personally, like, I didn't get to see a lot of the guys when they were younger because I was gone during the week. So to be able to get up every morning and see Jean, and even this morning I was working on the computer, he was sitting on my lap. And he was helping me press the buttons and stuff. And it's just, you know.
It's very cute. And I was obviously doing some research on you guys this week. And is it true that you were only together for a couple of weeks before you got engaged?
Yeah,
we were. So I'm actually meeting real life because, like, you know, you hear these stories. Yeah. Oh, they knew each other for 2 days and they got engaged. But you guys genuinely did just know each other for a couple of weeks and decided to get married.
Yeah, we met in April, got engaged in May and got married in November. And we knew.
Would you recommend?
Absolutely. Well, I mean, it was 16 years. We were married 16 years. He's still alive. You know, we're both still together, and it is, it's a nice
still alive. I love that.
It doesn't work for everybody, but it worked for us. You know, we knew instantly, we clicked, and I knew I wanted to have his babies and all of that. So we're just,
and here we are.
Even if you look at the last few years, like, we're working together day in, day out, and we haven't killed each other. You know, we have our moments,
like, there is murder in the house, like, we're not perfect.
No, I mean, like, I think we have the kind of relationship where we can,
and like, I'm murdering him, the kids are murdering each other, I'm murdering one of the kids. There's always something going on, but you know, you work through it and you just kind of you get on, but we're all right.
You're all right. As I said, we're all still here, aren't
we? Yes, exactly.
And I don't own an air fryer, okay? Now, can I just say, I really got into cooking in the last 3 years. Right. I was one of those people, because I remember you saying before that, like, sometimes people think that they can't cook. I was one of those people, and then I got into it and I discovered that I really, really loved it. And I loved, like, experimenting with different recipes or whatever. But there's an ad that keeps on coming up on my phone. And I'm like, will I just buy the air fryer? Because I've saved, you know, I've saved a couple of the recipes. And I'm like, you know, I just think that I don't have enough room for another kitchen implement.
You don't,
and,
you know what I mean? You'll make room.
So you're going to have to, you can sell the air fryer to me because you just think it's absolutely.
Yeah, I think.
How many do you have now at this stage?
I don't know. I mean, I think I have about 7 currently.
Seven air fryers.
I probably gave away 5 or 6 that we kind of tested over time and, you know, used. But, and it won't be the end of my air fryer journey, but they're amazing. I mean, okay, I have a beautiful new oven.
Yeah.
A Miele oven that does everything for me. And essentially it is an oven, but just in a smaller form. So if you're in a, you know, if you're coming in late or if you're in a rush, even for the kids, it's great. You just, like,
very
chicken,
safe for the kids.
You can do a full chicken. I did a lasagna, for example, in the oven and in the air fryer. It was 45 minutes in the oven. Now, this is just cooking it. So and it was 14 minutes in the air fryer.
Okay.
It tastes exactly the same. So you're essentially, it's just a small little oven.
Energy efficient. Obviously you're not, you know.
In this day and age, you know, you're looking after your bills, so it's lower on your electricity, and it's just the convenience. And if you have got kids who are of an age like our kids, like our Holly loves to come in and throw in, even if it's sausages and chips, or, you know, she cooks her brother his lunch, or throws paninis in it, or does bagels and different things like that. So it's safer for the kids, I find, anyway. But
because I've saved,
if you haven't got room, just put it in your oven.
And speaking of the kids, and I don't want to mention the S word, but school is around the corner.
Yes.
So let's pick your brain on some back to school food ideas that, you know, busy mums and dads will be able to just, when that routine kicks in and it all just goes a bit mental and everyone's back, you know, to that school routine. So tell me some back to school food ideas.
Well, for us, I mean, it's all about preparation and I like having things ready for when they come in the door. So, like, we do a really lovely, now I know not all kids like curry, but this is a really mild, it's a one pot chicken curry stew. You can do it with beef, you can do it with anything. So it's obviously all in one pot, but you put in baby potatoes or chips. It's
really hard. And what I do is, if I make that on a Monday, I'll always make a little bit extra. And for example, if they come in from school the next day, I get some pastry out and I make little jambons, put a bit of cheese in them, put them in the air fryer.
Okay.
So you've got these cheesy curry jambons from last night's dinner.
Or
so
great for their lunchbox as well. And then, like, we do like kind of experimenting with different things in the air fryer. Like, we do breakfast kind of, or breakfast, yeah.
Breakfast bombs, yeah.
Which are a lovely snack, lovely for their lunch.
That sounds like breakfast made fun.
Oh,
do
yeah.
You know what I mean? Yeah, like, you know, and the kids look forward to it. Yeah. And coming home, I think for me, like kind of growing up in the 80s and having that traditional mom who had a dinner every Monday, yep. The same dinner every Tuesday. I love the idea of them coming in and getting the smell when they get in the door. So I like slow cooker stuff. So like we do like a lovely, it's a chicken parmesan. One pots are amazing,
yeah.
Because they go a long way and you can dish them out for lunch or dinner the next day. It's a chicken parmesan. It's got mushrooms. You can put leeks. You can put a gorgeous bit of chorizo, yeah, in it. So all of that kind of stuff, real hearty, nice, yeah, kind of.
Now, I know we were chatting about being on holiday and whatnot, but you've still obviously been really busy. Gina, you cooked on TV for the first time.
Yeah.
You're in Ireland AM.
Woo!
Yeah.
So it was...
Stressful.
I'd imagine,
yeah, because it's under a time constraint and there's cameras on you.
And,
yeah,
you know, everything is hectic the seconds before you go on and...
it's the early start as well, like you're leaving
at 5. Yeah, I was like left at 5 and you bring all your own stuff and you have to have one you've prepared earlier and you just appear on TV and everything is done. But it was really good fun and I really, really enjoyed it. So I was booked to go back again, which I did last week.
Brilliant.
And then I have another one next week. So it's kind of nice doing something different.
It's a new experience.
Yeah,
isn't it?
And we did Bloom.
Yeah,
and
you did Bloom
the
as
Taste,
well. Yeah.
Which
and how was that?
Bloom was funny because like it was our first time doing it live because a lot of the stuff when we first started was all during COVID. So for us with Bloom, we went in, it was Nevin McGuire, such a lovely guy, and Shane Smith and all these really cool pastry chefs and chefs doing all these really elegant dishes. And then we kind of rock out onto the stage and we're doing trash can nachos. I think the guys come up to us afterwards and said you got the biggest round of applause of the day.
I think that was all our friends at the back that we paid.
Yeah. But no, it was amazing. Do you know something? Bloom Festival was such, and we were on the Saturday. We actually went on the Thursday just to experience it ourselves before we had the pressure of.
It's fantastic,
and it was just incredible.
Now I have to ask you, what's trash can nachos?
Okay, so it's like imagine nachos that you get in, like you make them yourself. So tortilla chips, cheese, guac, whatever you want. And you've got your nachos, your tortilla chips on the bottom, you throw all the stuff on the top. And when you get underneath, everything's dry and, you know, it's all the bits on the top. The nice bits are gone. So this is a big bucket. So it's like
a flower pot almost. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. And you put in your nachos, you put in cheese sauce, cheese, layer it up with all your different bits and pieces. And you lift the
So you turn it over like a sandcastle and you lift it slowly.
So every single layer has got nice.
Flows down.
Yeah, has something on it. So it's not like dry. You don't get to the end.
I'm licking my lips here now.
Gorgeous.
So what does the year hold for the both of you going ahead?
We've loads of exciting stuff lined up, but like everything, we're kind of.
It was funny because we did 3 books in 3 years.
That's a lot, by the way. Congratulations.
No, like, I mean, it's only when you look back at it and we kind of said, right, this year we're kind of taking a break from the writing. And it's funny because once we said that, we find we're writing more in the background just because you don't have the pressure of it.
Yeah.
And we've a new baby and like Gene is kind of like he's our all of our world. He's and he needs, like, Gene was born with Down syndrome, mm-hmm. so he needs a lot of attention because he's a real people person and he just wants mommy, daddy, Holly or Ben, and he's wild. So like, you know, people say, oh, are you not cooking as much? And I'm like, I have a baby.
You don't have a minute.
It takes up every second of our life. But
but look, it all sounds really, really good. And you might have sold me on the air fryer, actually. Carl, Gina, Daily Dish, thank you so much for coming into the show.
Thank you.
I look forward to seeing you on Ireland AM again and popping up everywhere. It's time for some Sugar Babes now. Sugar Babes, push the button, you're listening to The Ray Darcy Show. My name is Ciara King and I'm in keeping the studio warm for Ray for the next 2 weeks on RTE Radio 1. Colin says, can you call out the Whale Watch details again, please? Sure, Colin. It's Whale Watch Ireland 2023. It's on Saturday, the 19th of August at 2 p.m. And for more details, you can check out www.iwdg.ie. Also, I want to say hello to Angela, who says, we were on a whale watching trip this morning off the coast of Cork and we saw loads of dolphins, fin whales, humpback whales and mink whales. That's amazing. Minky whales, sorry, excuse me. That'd be a bit weird if it was mink whales. Also, I want to say hello to Martin, who says, no way I would change my seat if requested. I'm 65 and I don't move once I'm seated unless it's extremely long haul. Book your seats together in advance. End of Martin. That would be a lot of people's arguments, in fairness, but just sometimes it's not possible to do that. Anyway, we have Pork Jack on the way. We'll be back after this.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
Now it's time for some live music with bilingual musician from the Iron Islands, Pádraig Jack. He's toured with Sharon Shannon and Damien Dempsey. He comes from a very musical family himself, and he's going to be playing Dublin's Unitarian Church on the 2nd of September. So we're delighted that he's dropped by for a tune and a chat. How are you getting on, Pádraig?
Good, no, Ciarán.
Yeah, yourself, yeah, we're going to have a great owl chat later on, but you've got a song that you want to sing for us.
I do. Yeah, it's my new single called What Is Love.
Take it away.
Thank you.
Ubiquitous love in you and me. Natural love we're born to be. It's evil's evil twin, the son of God. Through humankind woven, it's thicker than blood. Oh, and it blazes through races, it gives us a basis. That sustains us to show kindness. It makes us get married, have babies, be neighbors, break barriers, be happy. Be happy.
Wow, Pádraig, that was absolutely lovely. What is love? I mean, that's a big question, isn't it?
It's a big question, yeah.
Any inspiration for the title of the song or just...
No, when I play it live, all I say is, first of all, it's not. What is love?
Yeah, I know. Hadaway. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. No, I think I wrote it during lockdown and I actually wrote it during the night. I think I was drinking cans and I forgot about it.
Okay.
Yeah. And so I don't really know. Yeah. It's okay. Looking at love as a scientific phenomenon as opposed to a love song, I think.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah. All right. Now, you're a man from the Iron Islands. Which Iron Islands are you from?
Inishmore.
You're from Inishmore. Yeah, Inishmore. And how has it been out there this summer, actually?
It's been good. Well, it was great up till the end of June or whenever the weather kind of changed.
Yeah.
Same for everybody. But yeah, no, it's busy. It's good. The Banshees of Inishearn was, you know, was a bit of a buzz in the winter. You know,
yeah, so I'm the sort of person I get worried about, you know, when a film does really, really well, I worry about the landmarks where they were filmed around because, you know, I don't like to see somewhere ruined. Did you see an awful lot of tourists from the Banshees of Inishearn? Because it was Inishmore it was filmed on,
wasn't it?
It
was Inishmore, and Ackle.
And Ackle,
between the two. Yeah. So, no, I was thinking the same thing. I mean, before the Oscars were on, I thought, geez, this
year it's going to be,
But no, there's been a bit of a push, but I think because the islands are so busy already, they're kind of well known. You know, I'd say maybe for Ackle, it might have made a bigger difference.
Yeah.
I'd say, but.
And your parents have a pub out there, don't they?
Yeah, Joe Watties, yeah.
Yeah, I haven't been out. I didn't get a chance to go out. The last time I was out, I was on Inishear.
Oh, yeah.
And it was a gloriously sunny day last summer, and it was just, it was magic.
No better place.
Yeah, it's absolutely magic out there. Yeah. Now, you've been busy gigging, but you also gig on the Iron Islands every Monday, is it?
I do, yeah. I was there last night, got the ball up this morning. Yeah, yeah.
Fair play.
Yeah, I'm doing a show, a residency on Monday nights for the summer, and I did it last year as well. So it's just, I do about an hour and a half of my songs in English Irish language.
Oh,
English,
brilliant.
Language, yeah.
And so you don't mind whether you're performing to like 5 people or 5,000 people? It doesn't make a difference to you?
No. Biggest so far was, I think, 4,000 last year with Damon Dempsey and Ivy Gardens.
Yeah, Ivy Gardens, great gig.
Yeah, it was brilliant, yeah. And I think like the week before that or a week after, there was bad weather in Aaron and there weren't many on the island and there were 2 people showed up for the show. And
you performed for 2 people.
I was like, look, I can do it if you want. I was like, I'm delighted. And they're like they're a couple from the States and they're like, oh, we'd love it. And I did the show and it was brilliant.
And it wasn't awkward or anything like that. When it's just you and 2 other people sitting in a pub and you're performing.
Exactly. Because I was like, that's exactly the reason I thought they might feel awkward. I mean, or whatever, you know, I said, I don't mind doing it. And they were like, yeah, cool. And ended up having pints with them after and stuff in the pub.
Okay, brilliant. Now I have to ask you because you know, I'm from the same neck of the woods as you, near enough. And I've always asked, you know, people like, oh, you're from Ranson, it's so beautiful. And, you know, do your creative, you know, juices flow down there by looking at the mountains and the sea? Do you think there's more pressure on us because we come from such idyllic and beautiful places to be able to create magic with music and writing and art and whatnot? It's just something I've thought about myself. Maybe I'm projecting onto you right now, so I'm sorry if I
No, not at all. No, it's a great question. And I do wonder about that as well. Although I think if you're from somewhere else, looking at it, you might be more inspired in some ways. Mm-hmm. But I think as you get older, I think we appreciate it a bit more being from there, I think. I don't know if you feel the same.
Yeah.
Do you know?
Yeah.
I think Aaron and Connemara as well, obviously very so.
Yeah, it's a funny one. Yeah. Now, Pádraig, you're going to play us a cover. And what have you chosen for us today?
I'm going to do an old Ireland's favourite folk song, Raglan Road.
Lovely.
Yeah. I'm going to do it in memory as well of Sinéad O'Connor.
That's lovely. Take it away there, Pádraig.
On Raglan Road, on an autumn day, I saw her first and knew that her dark hair would weave a snare that I might one day rue. I saw the danger as I passed along the enchanted way, and I said, let grief be a falling leaf at the dawning of the day. On Grafton Street in November, we tripped lightly along the ledge of a deep ravine where can be seen the worth of passion's pledge. The Queen of Hearts still baking tarts, and I not making hay. Well, I love too much, and such by such is happiness thrown away.
Pádraig, Jack, that was absolutely beautiful. Dee has also texted in to say, what an amazing voice. This is a beautiful version of Raglan Road. So thank you so much for coming into the studio. Now, very quickly before you go, Unitarian Church, September 2nd?
September, yeah. And Galway in the 1st in the Crane Bar, and I'm in Glore Innes in September as well, and in Campbell's Tavern in Headford.
And you're also on the Aran Islands on a Monday.
And the Aran Islands up to the end of August, yeah.
Pádraig, Jack, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Now, Nóg the Nish Le Mór the Wallish. Girl Emil Malgod Mora. Now it is time for our whodunit quiz. So yes, it is the whodunit quiz. So two people, they're going to have to answer three whodunit questions each on music, sport, books, politics, inventions, you name it. Anything that involves human endeavour is up for grabs. And like all whodunits, there will be clues. And if you answer without a clue, you get two points. And if you opt for the more difficult option and don't take a clue. However, if you opt for a clue, it's easier, so you get 1 point. And we have one hell of a prize. The Heritage in County Laois is part of the FBD Hotels and Resorts, and it's giving one lucky listener today and a guest a two-night stay with breakfast both mornings and dinner on one evening at Blake's Restaurant. So the Heritage was recently awarded TripAdvisor's Traveller's Choice Award for 2023. It saw them rated in the top 1% of all businesses on TripAdvisor and among the top 25 hotels in Ireland for the second consecutive year. So this is the ultimate spa getaway for you and your plus one to sit back and relax in their award-winning spa and take advantage of their brand new Moroccan bath treatments, including the Hammam or the Rasool Mud and the Heritage. It's a beautiful resort. It's set in the heart of the countryside in the pretty village of Killinard in County Laois, and that's less than 20 minutes from Kildare Village. So if you're not lucky enough to win on this occasion, why not treat yourself to a midweek girls' escape and experience one of the many gorgeous treatments on offer at the Heritage Spa or some retail therapy at the nearby Kildare Village. To view all of this amazing package on offer at the Heritage, you can visit www.theheritage.com. We've two contestants on the line. First up, it's Eileen in County Cork. Hi, Eileen.
Hi, how are you?
Tell me, first of all, where in Cork are you?
I'm in Cove.
And what is the weather like in Cove? It's like my favourite question to ask.
Well, buggy and overcast.
Oh, really? Okay. And was it like that for the bank holiday weekend? Did you get up to anything nice?
No. I went down on Sunday. It was a Mitchelstown for the Independence, all right?
And oh, yeah. That,
babysitting and work.
And did you see anyone at Independence?
The Two Door Comedy Club was the band we went to see.
Two Door Cinema. And you went...
Our cinema club, yeah.
And you did you go with anybody or...?
I went with my husband and my nephew and his partner.
Yeah. All right, okay. And is he here to help you today with the quiz?
Nobody here. He would be an advantage.
Oh, no. Okay, so some big preparations underway today, I believe, as well in your house.
Oh, well, dinner, like, dinner for mother-in-law coming down to visit. So.
Oh, right. So what have you got on the menu?
I have her favourite bacon and cabbage for dinner and then apple crumble and custard for dessert.
So would you call yourself a good enough chef?
Well, it's edible anyway.
You think you'll pass the mother-in-law test is what I'm asking you.
Definitely, yeah.
And we were chatting about big romantic gestures earlier on in the show. And would your hubby be romantic now?
He is, yeah. He would be, I must say, yeah. And very considerate, yeah. He always remembers anniversaries and he'd give little treats on the off chance and, you know, out of the blue, flowers or chocolates and things like that.
So let's say you did win this competition, would you take him with you?
Definitely.
If
he comes, you know, I wouldn't push him now to come.
Yeah,
if he wants
fair enough.
To come, he'd be more than welcome.
Fair enough, yes, yeah. All right.
Yeah. Well, he'd be the number one anyway.
He will, okay, so he'd definitely get the pass to go, right. Okay, well, Eileen, you stay on the line there because I just want to check in with Claire. Claire, how are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Where in the country are you?
I'm in County Kilkenny.
And what are you up to in Kilkenny?
I'm just doing a bit of housework now, that's all, on a day off.
Okay, and you're just back from holidays, I believe.
We are, yeah. We were in Germany.
And what part of Germany were you? I've never actually been to Germany, so what part of Germany were you in?
Yeah, it was lovely now, yeah. So we went to Berlin first, and then we travelled down to Munich by train. And we stayed outside Munich. Starnberg was the name of the place.
Okay.
It was beside a lake. It was beautiful, yeah. It was lovely.
Was there any kind of standout places? As in to see in Berlin? Because I've heard Berlin is just the most incredible city.
Yeah, it's so diverse. There's so many different people there. It's amazing. But I suppose the Berlin Wall was the big thing.
And did you and your husband, you didn't venture into any of those wild nightclubs that I hear about over
no,
in Berlin?
No, we didn't. No. We behaved ourselves. No.
Did
we
you? Oh, speaking of your husband, as I said, we were talking about romantic gestures. Is there anything that you can think of? Is your husband romantic? Do you do romantic gestures?
Is any offhand now. I mean, he's very good now. He buys me flowers and he never forgets birthdays or anything like that. Or, you know, so he's not a hopeless romantic, but...
Mm-hmm. But sure, he'll do kind of type thing.
Yes, absolutely.
He'll do,
yes,
all right.
Yes,
okay.
Yes.
Oh, Claire, it's lovely to have you on. We're going to start the quiz now. So we're going to start with Eileen, isn't it? Okay. Eileen, our first category is musicians, okay? So if you would like a clue, that means if you get it right, you get 1 point. But if you want to go ahead without any clue, you could end up getting 2 points if you get it right. So what do you want to do?
I'll take a clue.
You'll take a clue, okay, for 1 point. So here is the clue. Are you ready?
Yep.
You might catch her in a yellow taxi.
Picked up all the trees, put them in a tree museum.
Oh, my God.
Charge the people $1.50 just to see them. Don't it always seem to go that you don't know what you've got till it's gone? You pay paradise, put up a parking lot.
Now, Eileen, who was that?
Oh my God. Oh, my husband, I know. Oh, yeah. Joni Mitchell. Oh, sorry.
Did you wait a second? What did you say there just before?
Joni Mitchell.
That's it. You got it. 1 point for you. You got it just in time. All right. Okay, Claire, are you ready for your first question?
Yeah.
Okay, it's musicians again. And as I said before, I can give you a clue, and that will mean if you get it right, you get 1 point. Or if you opt to go without a clue, you get 2 points. So it's up to you. Would you like a clue?
I'll take a clue, yeah.
Okay. He's a star man. Okay, that's... Turn and face the strange
changes. David Bowie.
That is it. That's correct. Yeah. Well done. Okay.
I didn't need the clue.
I know. But it's a chance you can
have
to take,
go.
Isn't it? Yeah. All right, yeah. Eileen, back to you. Our second category is Irish voices. So we can do the same again. I can give you a clue. If you get it right, it's 1 point. Or else you can go without a clue.
No,
and if you get it right,
take
it's
a clue.
You'll take a clue. All right, here's the clue. Are you ready?
Yep.
The album Tired and Emotional made her a star. Here's the clip.
They put me in a drawer the first few days I was born because there was no cot, you know. So I was born in a drawer. Well, I was born in the bed, but I was put into the drawer. There's a lot of jokes about that. And then we moved to a new house in Merview. And then we moved back down to... My mother wanted to be beside her mother. So we moved back down to Chantilla. And I spent the rest of my life there.
I'm going to go for somebody like Mary Black, but I could be wrong. I know it's one of the Irish...
It was one of the Irish singers, but unfortunately it was Mary Coughlan, not Mary Black. I'm sorry,
yeah,
Eileen.
Yeah, that's okay. No.
All right. Okay, Claire, you're still there at me.
Yep.
Okay, here is a second category, as I said, is Irish voices. I can give you a clue. If you get it right, it's 1 point. And if you want to head on without a clue and you get it right, it's 2 points for no clue. So what do you want to do?
I'll take the clue, please.
You'll take the clue. Okay.
Yeah, please.
He represented Ireland in the Eurovision in 2006.
TV, you can imagine, like any household, the TV was on probably more than the fire. You know what I mean? It was in the corner, it was on. I even remember a time when you had to put money in the TV, like 50p pieces, a slot thing, because it was a way of, you know, our TVs were always rented, of course, radio rental. And then
was Brian Kennedy. Well done indeed. Now, guys, I hope that you're taking score out there. Okay, perfect. Okay, Claire, you're on 2. Eileen, you're on 1. So, Eileen, yes. This is your final question. Okay, it's your third category. It's famous actors. So it's up to you. Do you want a clue? And if you get it right, it's 1 point. Or you could kind of go without the clue and potentially get 2 points.
I'll try without the clue.
You'll try
otherwise.
Without
the clue. Okay. Sure, I'll have a chance maybe anyway.
All
yeah.
Right. Well, have a listen to this clip.
This is the first TV series that I've done. It was a lot of work. I've never really worked that hard in my life. But television is just so much faster. You do 10, 12 pages sometimes a day. But I loved it. I've never had more fun than doing this.
I think it's Arnold Schwarzenegger.
That is it. You got it right. Well done. Well done. All right. Okay. Now, on to Claire. Your final question, Claire, all right? The third category. As I said, it's famous actors. So how do you want to broach this last one? Do you want a clue?
I'll take a clue, please.
You'll take a clue. Okay, here's the clue. She was a hit in The River Wild.
Very quickly in the process, I don't think about voice being separate from the way you hold your head or the way you sit or the way you dress or the way you put on lipstick. It's all a piece of a person and it's all driven by conviction.
It's not Maureen O'Hara, no. I haven't a clue.
No, it's not Maureen O'Hara. No, it's not. Sorry. It was Meryl Streep.
Yeah.
So, Eileen, I have to say congratulations because you have won the two-night stay with breakfast both mornings in the Heritage in County Leash, and commiserations to Claire, but you still get your Keep Cup. So that's a good thing, all right?
Okay, that's lovely. Thank you.
And thank you so much for coming on. And Eileen, congratulations.
I'm surprised now, I must say.
Well, you mean it started off iffy, Eileen, I'm not going to lie, but you came through in the end, all right?
That was just the moment. My goodness. Great, I'm thrilled.
Well,
like
there you go. There's a lovely weekend away for you now that you
lovely.
Can look
Thank
forward
you so
to.
Much.
All right.
Thanks a million. I appreciate it. Thanks a million.
You're very
Thank
welcome,
you.
Eileen.
Thank
and the Whodunit quiz will be back at the same time tomorrow.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1. The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.
There is still so many text messages coming in about Pádraic Jack. Joe in County Clare says, Ciara, Pádraic Jack was brilliant. Go hintach ar fad. And I can't wait to hear him again. Now, next on the Ray Darcy Show, it's some CMAT featuring John Grant. Now, Esme Higgs is one of the biggest social media content creators in the equestrian world. And Esme has recently turned her attention to writing children's books for animal lovers like her. And she joins me in studio right now. Esme, you're very welcome.
Oh, thank you so much for having me.
You just flew into Ireland this morning.
Yes, I have. Yeah. And it's my third
time in Ireland this year, actually. So it kind of feels like my second home.
So you're becoming fond of Ireland, it's fair to say. Yeah. Now, tell me, how did you get into this world of horse influencer, I guess, is probably would be a term to describe it.
Yeah, I guess so, yeah, or content creator. So for me, this all kind of happened very accidentally, not on purpose at all. So it started off with me just uploading videos to YouTube of my riding with my Connemara pony Casper. And I kind of used it as kind of like a video diary because my phone ran out of storage. So I knew I had kind of like a safe place to put all of my videos. Mm-hmm. And then I decided one summer, you know what, I'll make a tutorial type video, like how to tack up a horse, how to put on a saddle and a bridle, because I came from like a non-equestrian family, so nobody in my family is horsey or knows anything about horses. So it was actually my friend's mum who very kindly taught me how to do a lot of the care aspects, because a lot of riding schools, they teach you kind of more how to ride a horse and not necessarily how to care for a horse. So anyway, I did that video, and that was actually one of the first ever videos of mine to that wasn't just like, you know, my friends and my family that started watching. And that
and were you surprised at the reaction of your equestrian videos and how they went viral and how you got so many followers and stuff?
Yeah, no, definitely. It's something that it wasn't like a kind of something that just happened overnight. It's definitely like it was a slow kind of process of growing over time. So over sort of 2 years, I did it all on my phone, editing, filming, that kind of thing. And then it was kind of like the summer after I finished school that I got up to 10,000 subscribers. And with that, I managed to save up enough money to buy my own camera. And then I saved up enough money to buy my own laptop to edit on and all that kind of stuff.
So
and
it's
then,
a journey that you've been on.
Yeah,
and you
definitely.
Obviously love horses. And you mentioned that you've got a Connemara pony. I'm actually from Connemara.
Oh, no way.
Yeah, so I grew up around them, and I'm ashamed to say, what is the difference, and I probably should know this, what is the difference between a Connemara pony and, let's say, a horse?
So ponies tend to be smaller and horses are bigger. So
it's hands.
Yeah, it's hands rather than feet, so that's the difference. So if it's under 15 hands, then it tends to be a pony.
So obviously now you have started writing books, and you started with your first book, The Starlight Stables Gang.
Yes.
And that was around a young girl called Summer, who just loved horses, but had, you know, some difficulties going on with her family. But she ended up kind of becoming attached to these stables, and it kind of changed her life.
Yes.
And that is kind of what you want to promote in your books as well, isn't it?
With these characters. So over the last kind of 2 years, I've been sort of passion project of mine is I've been doing a series called How to Get Into Riding, where I've been filming at lots of different charity riding schools across the UK. So one of them definitely helped me kind of was inspired by writing this book, and that's Team Touchem that I'm now a patron for, which is really cool. So hopefully.
And what do they do in their charity?
So it's a charity riding school for underprivileged children, so children that maybe wouldn't have access to horses or horse riding lessons for whatever reason. So it's so incredible to see so many people also that have taken up riding from watching my videos.
Yeah, but
you're
also, like you said, there's so much more to owning a horse than riding, and like it's a nice idea that many young people dream of having a horse. I was one of those young girls that I was like, oh, I'd love a horse, but obviously didn't, you know, think about the responsibilities. But there's a lot of responsibilities that go with having a horse and the grooming and whatnot, isn't there?
100%. And especially in my videos, I try to kind of show you that with owning a horse, there's so much responsibility and so much that you need to do to care for them. And and also when writing this book, I wanted to make it so I feel like a lot of children's books about horses, or often there's like a very privileged girl that has her own pony and that kind of thing. It's all about doing the best in competition, and I wanted this book to be a little bit different, to have more characters like Summer and the rest of the Starlight Stables gang. So
Ellie,
Jesse, and Daniel as well.
The second book, Jesse and the Star Rider. So that's going to focus more on the character of Jesse.
Yes.
And tell me, how important was Joe Cotterill in these books coming about?
Yes, so I wrote these books alongside Joe, who is more established author, especially for my first books as well. It's been so lovely to have her by my side, kind of holding my hand, but also it's been really nice. I feel like the Starlight Stables gang wouldn't be the Starlight Stables gang with either of us. So it has to be both of us together, because she's from a non-horsey background. So it was really nice having somebody else writing it with me that didn't know all the horsey lingo, because I feel like a lot of people that are horsey, when they write a horse book, they say all these different words and things. And a lot of people, if you don't know anything about horses, you're like, what is this person going on about, kind of thing.
Well, I remember when I was a young girl growing up, it was, I read a collection, I don't know if people know it, the Follyfoot collection, and it was written by a woman called Monica Dickens, and I think she was a great granddaughter of Charles Dickens. So that was the horse book that I was reading growing up. And I think that every generation has one of those,
yes,
you know,
definitely.
Book series, yeah. You know, whatever. So it must be exciting to feel a part of something like that for this particular generation, you know?
Oh, 100%.
Now you're back, you're over for the Dublin Horse Show?
Yes,
and what
I
are you
am.
Doing at the Dublin Horse Show?
So I'm going to be doing meet and greets on the Wednesday, Thursday and the Friday. And then I'm also going to be covering all on my social media platforms as well.
Okay. And so, tell me about your horses before you go, because you have, how many, three?
Four
horses.
Well,
that must take an awful lot of work.
Yeah, so I'll do them in kind of like order that I got them. So I've still got my first pony, Mickey, who is now retired. He's a little bit older. And okay. Then I have my Connemara pony, Casper, who I've had since I was 12. And he's kind of like the reason that I started YouTube, as I said before. It was mainly him that I would upload videos of.
So what is it that you love about horses? And explain that to somebody who isn't horse. So what is it about Casper and what is it about Mickey? What is it about horses that made you go down this route?
I feel like they're just such intelligent animals, but also really emotionally intelligent as well. Like, they always know how you're feeling. So if I'm feeling sad, they know, like, I'll just go down to the stables, give them a hug, and I feel so much better. And they're just really understanding, gentle creatures as well.
Okay, well, that's a really nice... Now, very quickly, how much work goes into caring for a horse?
So much. I actually have a little rescue as well called Duke from World Horse Welfare that I'm a patron for as well. So it was really important when I brought in an extra horse onto my channel, showing how much extra work is and extra responsibility is too.
Yeah, no, that is, it's incredible. And I wish you the best of luck with all your charity work as well. And
thank
Jessie
you.
And the Star Rider, it's out on August, I think it's out on the, is it the 24th of August?
23rd, I think.
23rd,
yeah.
Sorry. We'll correct that. Sorry,
yeah.
Will. Esme Higgs, thank you so much. I hope you have fun in your adopted country of Ireland.
Thank you.
Now that you're here for the next couple of days. Look, that is it for today. Thank you so much for your company. We're back tomorrow at 3. You can email ray@rte.ie if you want to get in touch and stay here. Drive Time is next with John Cook.
The Ray Darcy Show on RTE Radio 1.